As we've been hearing, the federal government now looks set to finally deliver on its number one election promise, dumping the carbon tax. Mining billionaire Clive Palmer confirmed his senators would now support the repeal legislation after the bill sailed through the lower house yesterday. The government has promised households will see $550 a year in savings once the tax is axed. But the pledge has been mocked by Labor.
Before the election, the Minister for Agriculture claimed a leg of lamb would cost $100 because of the carbon price. I note that Coles Online today is selling a 2.2 kilogram leg of lamb for $26.40. Prime Minister, how much less will this leg of lamb cost by the end of this week?
That's Pat Conroy, the Labor MP in Parliament House yesterday. Economist Richard Dennis has been examining what impact the abolition of the carbon tax will have on prices. He's the Executive Director of the Australia Institute. He's with us now from Canberra. Welcome again to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
The government has promised that households will be $550 a year better off on average once the tax is dumped. It may not be that much, but households will definitely see some savings, won't they?
Look, the households will see some small savings, primarily with small reductions in the rate of growth of their electricity bills. So the carbon price is obviously designed to make electricity and gas a little bit dearer, and it did. But the main cause of electricity prices going up hasn't been the carbon price. Of course, it's been the cost of poles and wires, and removing the carbon price doesn't make all that gold plating go away. So, yes, the carbon price did put some upward pressure on prices, not as much as expected, not as much as modelled, and certainly not as much as Tony Abbott has claimed. So I think the political problem
How much did carbon put up electricity prices?
Look, over the period 2007 to today, the average electricity bill has gone up $746, and the carbon price accounted for about $172 of that. So, you know, it's $172. Well, that's something some people would like to get back, but it's not why their electricity bills have gone up so rapidly, and it's certainly not why the cost of most of the other things that have gone up have increased. And indeed, of course, we heard this week the supermarkets, the airlines, the first to come out and say, well, look, we never actually increased prices when the carbon price came in, so how can we cut them when it goes out?
Well, $170 is $170 from a household's perspective.
Look, indeed, but of course, you know, Tony Abbott has decided to do an incredibly populist thing. We were very well compensated for the introduction of the carbon price.
And so, that compensation's staying.
Indeed. So the $172 was well and truly compensated. In fact, the average household got around $500 a year in compensation when the carbon price came in. The electricity prices went up a little bit. Household prices for some things went up a little bit. But, you know, Tony Abbott, in the middle of an alleged budget emergency, is now scrapping a $7 billion source of revenue, but he's leaving $5 billion worth of compensation in place.
So in other words, he's telling the truth when he says households will be feeling better off as a result of the tax being axed.
The households will feel slightly better off. There's no doubt about it. But when you take $7 billion in revenue away, you're either going to see a bigger budget deficit, or he's going to have to increase other taxes on households. So again, the introduction of the carbon price had a small impact on household prices. There's no doubt about that. The main one was electricity. Electricity isn't going to get cheap again. Removing the carbon price is not going to take electricity back to the prices that we had 5 years ago, because the main reason that electricity was getting dearer was the excessive investment in poles and wires. And Tony Abbott did a very successful job of conflating people's concern with rising electricity prices with the carbon tax, but the data is quite clear. It just wasn't the main reason electricity got dearer.
If that's the case, why do you think Clive Palmer was so determined, at least initially, to attach an amendment to his repeal bill that would impose the harsh penalties on companies that didn't pass on the savings?
Look, I think it's very good politics and it's pretty good policy. The fact is, in Australia we have an incredible degree of concentration in many of our big businesses. We have not a lot of competition and a lot of oligopolies, and firms with market power don't always have to pass on reductions in costs. We kind of take it for granted that markets work well all the time. Well, they don't. So the purpose of the penalties is to make sure that what small price reductions people are due are passed on. And also I think it's good long-term politics, because what it's done is attracted people's eye to the idea of sitting back and waiting for these price reductions, and of course they're not going to be very good,
but
so
you're saying
not very large.
If the price reductions are negligible because they never had a big impact on the first place because of a carbon tax, then business not passing on the savings must also be a negligible problem.
It will, but the amendment is focused on the electricity and gas industry, and they're the ones that that did pass on larger price increases. So I don't think anyone wants to think that the big electricity generators or retailers are gouging us. I think the purpose of the amendment quite specifically is to ensure that they don't. There should be some very small reduction in the cost of energy, thanks to the removal of the carbon price, and it would be obviously a better thing if those small price reductions are passed on to consumers rather than hung on to by the electricity companies themselves.
What has been the role of your policy analyst Ben Oakquist at the Australian Institute, former staffer to the two Greens leaders, in encouraging the Palmer United Party to keep that renewable energy target in the Climate Change Authority?
Oh, look, the Australia Institute's always keen to talk to parliamentarians of all stripes about our research and what it suggests, and to encourage them to think about the issues and to change policy accordingly. And Ben Oakquist has been talking to the Palmer Party, and I think that's a great thing. I mean, he and myself and other staff at the Institute talk regularly to parliamentarians about our research, and you know, we're very glad to see that the Palmer Party's decided to hang on to what we think are very important policy initiatives like the renewable energy target, the Clean Energy Finance Corporation and ARENA. I think 6 months ago most people thought they were next in Tony Abbott's firing line, and while personally Ben and I are both disappointed that Clive Palmer didn't listen to our advice about the carbon price, we'd like to see that stay, but we're very glad if we've played some role in helping him and his senators understand that the renewable energy target's actually putting downward pressure on electricity prices.
And was that role just offering what you consider to be informed advice based on evidence, or were you working together in a closer way, in a way that you weren't, say, with the government or Labor or Greens?
We've worked in the same way with Mr. Palmer and his senators as we do with any parliamentarian. We've been publishing research on these issues for decades. We're, I think, very well informed about the impact of particularly renewable energy on the economy and on domestic electricity prices.
Was there any role that you played directly or indirectly in the visit of former Vice President Gore?
Oh, we certainly didn't bring Mr. Gore to the country, not at all. He was coming to the country to participate in events that we didn't even organise. So we knew he was coming, but our conversations have been around, well, what is the Palmer United Party going to do on certain pieces of legislation? And we're proud that people think we've had some influence. We wish we had more. Again, would have been great to see the carbon price stay, but you know, the government under the Labor and the Greens introduced quite a range of what we thought were good environmental policies, like the renewable energy target, and who'd want to see them ripped up if it's not necessary.
Okay, Richard Dennis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Richard Dennis, the Executive Director of the Australia Institute, RN Breakfast.